More and more are joining them. The players are rejoicing.
Welcome to the O'Glamagami Podcast, a podcast dedicated to all things Glamorgan cricket. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, give us a follow on Twitter at O'Glamagami or Instagram, search O'Glamagami Podcast. So sit back and enjoy with us the ups and probably downs of Glamorgan County Cricket Club. Hello and welcome to the O'Glamagami Podcast with me, Andy Ward, and alongside me is Ed Lockett. On this week's episode, we'll be reviewing the performances against Middlesex and Derbyshire in our first two county championship, and we'll be previewing the Northamptonshire fixture too.
Hi Ed, how's things with you?
I'm good, thanks Andy, yeah.
As the introduction said, we'll be looking back at Glamorgan's draw, record-breaking draw in some ways against Middlesex. Turning to the game at Lords, obviously Glamorgan drew. Before we get on to obviously the notable performance of the match, obviously Sam Northeast, before we talk about that in detail, there was a bit of a surprise with the team selection. We predicted that they would have gone with probably Mason Crane in the team, but they didn't. They went, put Craig Miles straight in. Mir Hamza obviously played as well, which we knew he was going to do. They also went with the seamer Joey McElroy, and they went with James Harris coming in at 8. They went with the all-rounder Dan Douthwaite, so they're obviously going to give him his chance in the team to stake his claim for that all-rounder slot. And obviously, they did end up going with Billy Root opening with Zane Al-Hassan. Northeast at 3. Obviously, we mentioned at the last podcast about he's promoted himself up the order to 3. And so far, it worked. Carson 4, Ingram 5, Crook 6. Morgan didn't win the toss. Middlesex won the toss and invited us to bat first. And I think that was probably the best. At the time, that was a good decision to bowl first on a obviously overcast April morning. I think everyone else would have probably bowled first. Roofs, maybe not the right decision from a Middlesex point of view if they were going to try and dictate the game. Obviously, we know what then happened over the next couple of days. It wasn't the best of starts. 16 for 1, losing Zane Al-Hassan. He went for 5. And then there was a bit of a partnership with obviously Northeast and Billy Root. Got the score to 145 for 2. Root was bowled for 67. So even then, 145 for 2, I definitely would have taken that, having lost the toss. And then the stand then with Northeast and Carlson, they nearly put on 200 runs. They were almost 20 short of 200-run partnership. Carlson then went for, when the score was 321 for 3, he went for 77. And then, well, the rest is history with Ingram and Northeast remain not out when we declared 620 for 3. Turning to the performance of the match, I think Sam Northeast, she's trying to put in some context that this was first game of the season, first as captain for us, first of playing at 3. We were asked to bat, you know, coming to 16 for 1. Not the easiest conditions at Lords, as we talked about previously. And then went on to hit the record score, hit the highest first class score recorded at Lords, and he overtook Graham Gooch's 333 for England against India in 1990. I mean, it's just like outstanding start. I think what was quite telling was when day after Colin Ingram did a video when he was seeing the physio, and he just said something like, "Oh, Sam's sort of been born to play for Glamorgan," or something like that. And that sort of gave me a little insight into perhaps now he's found the county that he's obviously been moved around a few different counties, feel settled, got the captaincy. He's just shown like in his performances over the last 4 days. And also off the back of, was it 85, 80 odd against Cardiff Uni? And then that's been it. We haven't had any other outdoor preparation, mostly been indoor. We haven't had a warm weather trainer session this year either. And more I was thinking about it, the more that 335 is just quite remarkable for the first game of the season against quite a strong bowling attack that we discussed last time.
Yeah, no, sometimes it's odd, you know, as a batsman, because you start the season because you're not clouded that much by sort of previous games or whatever, you know, so it's just like a fresh start. Your mind is clear. And obviously there's that sort of added edge of playing at Lords. One of those couple of days for Sam Northeast, and well, obviously Ingram and, you know, Carlson and Root certainly contributed as well, didn't they? So, and you know, can't forget Ryan Higgins for Middlesex as well. But as far as Sam Northeast is concerned, yeah, what an amazing achievement. And
well, the fact that I was listening to the commentary and watching some of the streaming over the weekend, and the fact that it was just things are coming off the middle of the bat obviously proved that he was just not going to get him out, which I thought was Like I said, remarkable four first innings of the season. It's
fairly
great.
Chanceless, I heard.
Yes.
It may have been Drop Gully, I think I read. But aside from that, very, very assured. It's about four. 412 balls is
strike rate of 81. A bit like you, a bit like, oh, first game of the season, this is really good, positive start. It would be useful to have this later on the season as well. I think they played the Kookaburra ball, and there's been some talk about how they didn't really do much for the bowlers, and the head coach came out and said, well, it's good for our bowlers to make them work harder, putting a positive spin on it. So it's not always going to be like this. So I think we just got to just bear that in mind. Middlesex in reply made 655, so they did get a lead over us. Ryan Higgins off 221. In any other game, that would be sort of making the headlines, which it did, but obviously it was going to be overshadowed by the record-breaking score. Big scores all around: Robson 43, Stowe 97, so a decent partnership there to open the innings. Deploy got 37, Davis got 60, and then it was Tom Helm, who I forgot to mention in the preview for the fixture, that he was on. He had a few games on loan for Glamorgan, nearly 10 years ago now. He got 64. The bowling things from Glamorgan point of view, Mir Hamza got his first wicket, so he bowled 30 overs, 1 for 86. McElroy 1 for 83 off 28. James Harris went wicketless, 0 for 85. Craig Miles got 2 for 86, so off his 26. So that's good for him to get his first wickets for Glamorgan. Carson 3 for 147 off 47 overs. Dicewaite 1 for 62. Economy, which I always interested, Dicewaite's economy was 2.82, less than James Harris. Colin Ingram, he bowled 20 overs, which must be the first time in seasons that he's bowled. A couple of years ago, he wasn't playing red cricket at all. He was just on the white ball and was started coaching. But obviously, the last couple of years, he's played well. He's batted in the red ball team, and now he's bowled 20 overs and took 2 for 63. And then Zain Hassan had 9 overs, 0 for 32. So I did start to question the bowlers who were taking the wickets with spinners. And I was like, well, we haven't got Mason Crane in this team. Should we have gone with Mason Crane? Like, I understand some of the beauty commentators didn't really question it much and said, well, it's an April game, it's overcast, you go with the seamers. But I still just like that variation. And lo and behold, Ingram and Carlson, they bowled 67 overs between them and took 5 wickets. So I was just a little bit frustrated. There wasn't as much analysis I thought they could have had on that selection. And then the second is Glamorgan. Yeah. Zain Hassan 2, Billy Root 11, Northeast knocked out 40, and Carson 3. Not going to try and read too much into that, the opening partnership, because it's obviously sort of makeshift at the moment. But there will be kind of pressure on Zain Hassan, maybe. If Billy Root is going to get scores of over 50 opening, then Byram comes in as he recognised opener. But is there then pressure that Hassan comes out of the team because you're going to have Dicewaite as the all-rounder and Mason Crane to come in? Or do you move Billy Root down, but that then takes out Dicewaite? So anyway, that's a question for another day, I think. A bit of a puzzle when Byram's fit, which has been told should be beginning of May. Any other thoughts on the general performance or general game, Ed?
Just about to sort of judge, our bowling. I mean, maybe this one game. I mean, Mir Hamza sort of appears to have sort of bowled economically and steadily, but it's probably not a wicket to be for a seamers to be getting lots of wickets. So a sound debut, I guess, from his perspective. But he's only taken one wicket, so bowled lots of overs. But yeah, he's been economical. So Craig Miles, 2 wickets on his debut. So yeah, good on him. Bowling sort of side of it, yeah, it does seem a bit odd. And I know what you mean. It would have just been nice, rather than Ingram, to have bowled those 20 overs and got 2 wickets, for it to be Mason Crane instead.
I guess in contrast, look at the Middlesex bowlers in the first innings. Ethan Bam took 2 for 90 off 25 overs, and then Henry Brooks, who we previewed in the last episode, he took 1 for 69. So obviously different conditions on the first 2 days. We have to bear that in mind. We probably can't read too much into the bowling performance, but we took 10 wickets, so I think that's what the new coach wants in order to win matches. So okay, some of the supporters on the social media were frustrated that it was a draw, but I think if you'd followed this from the first day, then it was meandering towards that way. And then when Middlesex got their lead of 35, and in the context of seeing how not badly badly performed. We were two down for 28 for two. I did have concerns that although there was now only an hour left of the match, that we have folded like a pack of cards.
Imagine so it was that. In the imagine ba- that. Imagine well, if Glammy did. But I mean, oh, wow, that would have been disastrous.
Yeah, well, it has happened. It has happened in the past. We've gone right. Okay. Amazing first innings, and then all of a sudden we falter and just all out for 100, and then they have to knock off 25 or something. That was in the back of my mind. Luckily, we're not reviewing this fixture with that result. So yeah, we drew the match. We finished on 13 points, and then Middlesex had 11 points. So I think that pretty much wraps up the review of our 4 days out at the home of cricket. Amazing knock by our captain, Sam Northeast, led from the front. Yeah, it's really good to get Glamorgan on the sort of honours board at the home of cricket for the good reasons. Someone's already mentioned about, oh, England will be looking at Sam Northeast. I don't think in the month of Sundays that England selectors will be looking at Sam, who's obviously 34. I think the ship has definitely sailed, and I think as Glamorgan supporters we know where we are. England cricket selectors don't really look west down the M4 much, especially over Severn Bridge. But unfortunately for signing for Glamorgan, it pretty much nailed in the coffin of his England career. Hey, if he goes through the season, his average is 300. Even then, I don't think that would be enough, especially the way England play. We have no aspirations for him to join England anyway, because we need our captain and we need to get promoted this year. Before we get into reviewing the performance against Derbyshire, some club news that broke just before the Derbyshire game started, that Craig Miles has returned to Warwickshire. His loan spell has come to an end. So he only played that one game for us against Middlesex. Obviously, they must have seen that he'd taken wickets on a flat track and recalled him back to Warwickshire. So wish Craig well and thank you for the efforts you made when you were representing Glamorgan. You were wearing the daffodil, so he's going back to Warwickshire. That left a hole in the starting 11, which they had to bring in Mason Crane. He started. That's the only club news I have, so we'll go straight to the looking at Derbyshire result and performance. The starting 11 was, as I said, as it was against Middlesex, except for that enforced change, really, with Craig Miles going back and Mason Crane coming in. Derbyshire did have David Lloyd as captain. He was down on the scorecard as four, but I think he came in at three, which we didn't know that was a position that he wanted to bat, I guess. He's asked to come in at three. Odd that he never batted at three for us. But there you are. He was in the starting lineup with an Aaron Donald as well. As the game unfolded, I realised that Lewis Rees had Welsh connections as well. But they were the only two Glamorgan players for Derbyshire. We lost the toss and we were invited to bat first, which wasn't a surprise given the blustery conditions. And some of the bowling by Blair Thickner was unplayable during that first sessions. Northeast just looked, he looked like a man who hadn't scored a record-breaking score in the previous match. Thickner was just beating him more often than not. I think that's why I explained it. Northeast only got to 11. So we started off okay-ish, I guess. 31 for one. Billy Root went for 17. Next to go was Northeast at 53 for two. Both went for 11. And then Zain Hassan, he made 35 and we're 113 for three. So I think honours even really at that point, I think, in terms of the toss and were they right to insert us. And then next follow wicket, 155 for four. Carlson, he went for 74. He was a top scorer. Ingram, follow wicket, 188. He went for 30. And then Chris Cook went for 20. When the follow wicket was 201, then James Harris, when the score was 209, he went for four. Mason Crane went for 13. He was the last man to get out, actually. Jamie McElroy, four. So Jamie McElroy has been moved up the order to number 10. And then Veer Hamza came in, but he was not out, naught. And for missed it down three at 20, he went for 23. 237 all out. I don't think that was a bad score considering the conditions and considering how well Blair Thickner had bowled. Obviously, Alex Thompson took 7 for 65. In fair play, he bowled 26 overs, 7 maidens, 7 for 65. Did get my hopes up around Mason Crane. Derbyshire have to bat last on the pitch. Our two 237 was kind of vindicated because Derbyshire only made 198 all out. Lloyd, he made 16, and he was the second top scorer. And then it was Wayne Madsen, top scorer at 63. So there were wickets for Mir Hamzan got 141, four maidens. James Harris, 3 for 28, eight maidens for 19 overs. So he's probably the pick of our bowlers there, really, with his economy of 147. Mason Crane got 4 for 60 off 25.5. Carson, 0 for 36. And Douthwaite, 2 for 32 off 12 overs, 3 maidens. He bowled okay, a bit tidily. So we had a slender lead of, I think it was just under 40. And then this is where we once again started a bit slowly with Zain Al-Sahn out for 12, 27 for 1. And then Northeast went for no score against Thompson, took his wicket. 27 for 2. Yeah, he took a wicket with the next ball. Carson went up when the score was 51. He scored 11. And I think the game would have been drifting towards Derbyshire at that point. Thankfully, there was a little partnership with Root and Ingram. Root eventually got 32, scored a 69 for 4. So still probably in Derbyshire's hands the game. And then they put in Mason Crane probably as the night's watch batter probably. Scored 19, scores 114. I see a nod in. And then Ingram got run out. It's not the best way to go. 51. He went when his scores 136 for 6. I think if we'd been all out for 100, 200, then it would have been advantage Derbyshire. And then it was a lovely partnership then. Douthwaite and Chris Cook. Eventually Douthwaite went for 32. And they took the score. Him and Cook took the score for 245 for 7. So started clawing it back. And then, well, Chris Cook remained there, not out at the end, 126 with James Harris, not out 61. And we declared for 361 for 7. I think going into the end of that third day and fourth day with the wet forecast being not consistent, I think Glamorgan were the favourites to take the victory, I think. But unfortunately, we only took 3 wickets. So Derbyshire made 225 for 3 and they shook hands around 5 o'clock. James Harris did get the ball rolling with a wicket of Harry Kane for 3. Lloyd got run out for 24. Wayne Madsen got bowled by Harris for 25. So James Harris finished with figures of 2 for 24. And then it was Brooke Guest, 72 not out, and Lewis Rees, 91 not out. Carson bowled 17 overs, 0 for 33. Mason Crane, 17 overs, 0 for 91. Mirhausen, 0 for 31 off 13. Ingram, 0 for 14 runs, 5 overs. Douthwaite, 5 overs, 0 for 15. And Zain Al-Sahn, 7 overs, 0 for 13. Disappointing that we didn't get the win today. Could we have declared earlier? Maybe on that third day. Two equal sides, I think, really. Thickener bowling on day one was when I was watching it on the stream, I was thinking that is reminiscent of Michael Hogan. Not that Michael Hogan had the same pace, but just the skill. And he was just beating the bat inside and outside. It was just almost unplayable. Well, I think it was unplayable for North East to go, so straight after his big knock. Any thoughts, Ed, from you in terms of general game and then the performer of the match?
Bit of a seesaw game, really. I mean, yeah, okay, Glamorgan got put in, but I think, yeah, in the context of the game, Glamorgan's sort of first inning score was okay, but I think Glamorgan would have been disappointed with only 237 and Derbyshire would have been really delighted, you know, getting them out sort of in the first day. But then it kind of swung back, and you know, fair play to the Glammy bowlers for getting Derbyshire all out for less than 200. So then it's like, right, okay, the lead wasn't great, only about, say, 40. Do so well in that second innings, Glammy, and, you know, have the best part of a day, day and a bit, to bowl Derbyshire out. You would have kind of fancied it. I think fair play to the Derbyshire batsmen of, you know, Guest and Rees. But given that how well some of the Glammy bowlers bowled in Derbyshire's first innings, mate, yeah, it's just a bit annoying that they couldn't make that breakthrough in the second innings. Someone like Mason Crane to have, you know, really sort of been aggressive and sort of got wickets. But yeah, so it's annoying from Glammy's perspective. But I think, yeah, on that whole, that they should be more disappointed than Derbyshire. My sort of player of the match would be Chris Cook for sort of having that inning, you know, doing that fantastic innings of 126 in total. That really sort of set Glammy up with a perfect platform to sort of bowl Derbyshire out. But yeah, like I said, it didn't happen. Other notable mentions for Mason Crane, really glad that he's sort of got four wickets in the first innings. But yeah, just a little bit frustrating that didn't sort of quite happen in Derbyshire's second innings.
On the Chris Cook, on his performance, me and Ed did discuss who he was going to choose. I'm glad he did choose Chris Cook because he scored the 1,000th first-class 100 in Glamorgan's history.
Oh, wow.
The 90th was Gareth Rees, who I remember playing for Glamorgan, and the eight in 2013, and then 800th was Johnny Hughes in 2004, who I can't remember who he is, who ever played Glamorgan. But anyway, I agree with Chris Cook, and obviously Mason Crane and Alex Thompson, we mentioned good performances there, but yeah, I concur with Chris Cook's player of the match. We finished with 11 points, and so did Derbyshire. So if we look at the update of the table, we're sitting fourth on 24 points. Sussex, the top, leading the way, played two, drawn two, 29 points. Yorkshire played two, drawn two, 25 points. Leicestershire played two, drawn two, 25 points. We're fourth, 24 points. Northamptonshire joint with us, our next opponents, who Ed will be previewing in a minute. They got 24 points as well, drawn two. We've got one more batting point than us, but one less bowling point. Middlesex, the sixth, 23 points. They've drawn two, played two. Gloucestershire played two, drawn two, 20 points. And then Derbyshire played two, drawn two, 19 points. No batting points at the moment and bowling and three bowling points. I'll say it again, I was interested to see that David Lloyd came in at three for Derbyshire. He never batted three for us, so I don't know what that behind that decision. It might be something behind that decision. But anyway.
Do we know what reception he got? You know, fairly cordial sort of thing.
I think so, yeah. It's Division yeah. Two. It's not someone going from Swansea to Cardiff. And I think there was a few comments about how when he was on loan to Derbyshire that they broke him and we never got him back because he got injured. But I was all in good faith, and he did well for us when he was captain and represented Glamorgan, so yeah, fair play to him. But honours even then against Derbyshire. Looking ahead now then, Ed, next opponents are obviously a level with us in the table, Northamptonshire. What can you tell us about, if we get onto the personnel Northamptonshire? They played Middlesex in this round of fixtures, who we obviously played in our first round. And they drew the match. Yeah, both teams only batted once. Northamptonshire 5-5-2 for six, and then Middlesex 5-5-3 for two. Draw match, probably affected by the weather, I imagine. I notice Emilio Gay made 261. He's run out.
Yeah.
And James Sales, 113. Blimey. Okay, I'll hand it over to Ed to just find out a bit more about the personnel of Northamptonshire.
It's odd to sort of think what we're in for next week. Well, at the end of this week, at the County Ground in Northamptonshire, when 1,100 runs are scored for only the loss of eight wickets. So some really massive performances from Emilio Gay and James Sales. So the name Sales may ring a bell to some listeners. So he's the son of David Sales, the former captain of North Hants. So yeah, he's only 21, so he's done well to get 100. And that was Emilio Gay's maiden double 100, so good on him. And yeah, he's one of their own, so from Bedford, so thoughts are fondly around those parts. But yeah, so just their sort of main personnel. Their coach is John Sadler. Sort of played for Yorkshire and Derbyshire as a player, and Leicestershire as he's fairly young for a coach. 42. This is his third season with North Hants, and yeah, their captain is Luke Proctor, who's batsman, and their wicketkeeper is Lewis McManus. They're overseas players, so they've gone for a batsman and a bowler. Their batsman that they've chosen is Karan Nair from India, and the bowler they've chosen is Australian Chris Tremaine. So yeah, it's going to be interesting how the side changes. I mean, one sort of looking through their sort of batting sort of portfolio, yeah, obviously Emilio Gay, Proctor and Nair are the main batsmen, you know, along with James Sales. You wonder if George Bartlett, who they signed in the winter, will come in and play. So he was Somerset last season. I saw him get 100 actually for Somerset at Lords. Middle order of North Hants, you probably wouldn't mess with it. So I don't really envisage them making any changes. But yeah, bowling wise, so along with Chris Tremaine, the Australian overseas, They've also got Ben Sanderson and also David Willey, who hasn't, so he's more known of now as like a one day player. But yeah, so I don't know the situation with him, whether he's injured or not. But yeah, he obviously didn't play the game against Middlesex. So yeah, wait and see. But it seems like it could be some big scores. Yeah, just going on that wicket against Middlesex. But yeah, it might be a completely different wicket. We don't know.
Yeah, interesting how it's gonna play. If it is a similar type of wicket, then hopefully we've got the batters in decent nick with Cook, Northeast, Ingram, Carson getting biggish scores. Obviously, there's a worry with the opening partnership. I haven't heard any news about Eddie Byron's return yet. So it's probably unlikely that he will be fit for this game. So once again, fingers crossed for this makeshift partnership, Zain Al-San and Billy Root. Other changes to the Glamorgan team probably wouldn't look to make any, given the fact that Harry Pobham seems to be still injured. Van der Goten's going to be out as well, so I can't see they're going to change the side. The seconds are playing against Northamptonshire, funny enough, and they started today. Andy Gorvin is playing in that game. He was one of the 12th men, along with Asa Tribe. I think Asa Tribe had a run out as well. But the other players to note in this second team are Will Smale. He's opening. He's got 34. Tom Bevan, remember him? We haven't mentioned too much about Tom Bevan. 44. Alex Horton's playing. Andy Gorvin's playing. Prem Shisodi's playing. Ben Kelleway's playing. Ben Morris is playing as well in the second. So I have to wait and see how they go. But I can't imagine Grant Bradburn's going to change the team unless we have any injuries. Or they might sign another bowler on loan from somewhere. But I guess now the season started, the squads are all probably settling down. That brings us all up to date. We're recording this fresh after the Derbyshire match. So between now and the Northamptonshire game, there may be some developments around injuries or maybe sign a replacement for Craig Miles. But we're playing Northamptonshire on Friday the 19th up at the County Ground, Northampton. So we'll have to wait and see what the wicket does and what the weather does. Hopefully we can get a game. Really hope we can get a win, because we're looking like we're getting draws at the moment. But perhaps if we get a fine weather over those 4 days, then we might look at getting positive results. We've got Northampton start on the 19th, and then we next play Yorkshire on the 3rd, Friday the 3rd, and then Sussex at home on the 10th of May, then Middlesex, the return fixture early at 17th of May at home, and then we've got Lancashire there, Leicestershire, I apologise, on this Friday the 24th of May, and then that's, then I think we're probably into the T20 stuff then. So we've got five games left before the T20 break, two of which are home, three away. So yeah, we have to wait and see where we are when we preview the Yorkshire game. That leaves us bang up to date. Leads me to say thank you all for listening, and thank you for downloading and following us. My thanks to Ed, as always. Hope everyone goes well, and go Glammy. Bye for now.
More and more are joining them. The players are rejoicing.